This is a History with God Ministries Godcast Network featuring Frank and Christina Sasso. Visit us online at ahistorywithgod.com for articles, links, prophetic words, prayer requests, and other awesome resources. Be sure to join our mailing list to receive your free daily devotion right in your email every morning. They are sure to comfort, inspire, teach, and even challenge you in your walk with the Lord. Now, without any further ado, let's welcome the host of this broadcast, Christina Sasso.
Hello, everybody. This is Christina Sasso. Welcome to part two of Words, 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 Already in Progress.
Isaiah and the other prophets, Jeremiah, Hosea, Amos, literally spoke Jesus into the earth. The spoken word brings things to pass. God showed us this in Genesis. He showed us this in John. All things that were created by him, which he also said was the word. Let me just go back to it again in case you think I'm making this up. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God himself. He was present originally with God. Let me draw your attention to Genesis 1:26. And God said, "Let us, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, make mankind in our image." So, he's saying in John 1:3, all things that were made and came into existence through him, and without him was not even one thing made that has come into being. And he is what? The Word. Do you see? So, it's all tied together with the Word and the words that were spoken and the words that now we are to speak. The words that Isaiah spoke, the words that Jeremiah spoke, the words that all these messianic prophets spoke brought Jesus into the earth. So I want to be one of those people that speak Jesus back, as well as everything else that I'm supposed to be speaking. The authority that I have, the dominion that I have, has to be spoken. Okay, let's put that aside for just a second. As I continued to study this, as well as other scriptures, it was kind of starting to solidify for me. This is something I'm still involved with studying, and this is something that I'm still gleaning stuff from, and the Holy Spirit was revealing to me. So, the world was created by the spoken word, and God gave us that picture, that example. He told us that in Genesis, and then he told us again in John. How does this apply to us? Well, if we have all the authority that Jesus says we have, then we are to use our words and his words to bring things to pass. God created things by speaking them into existence. I am totally convinced that the words we speak have power, and that power sets things in motion. And this is actually even true of bad things, because the word says the power of life and death is in the tongue. And that scripture is Proverbs 18:21. The NIV says, "The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit." The King James says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof." Also, there's another scripture, Proverbs 21:23. "He who guards his mouth and his tongue keeps himself from calamity." Proverbs 12:13. "An evil man is trapped by his sinful talk, but a righteous man escapes trouble." Matthew 12:37. "For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned." So, the word, the spoken word, has power, and it sets things into motion, either for death or for life, for good or for evil. What I have to now for myself, I have to watch my words, because my words will bring things to pass. So what do I want to come to pass? I want good, prosperity, joy, health, happiness, fruit to come to pass, good fruit. So my words are the seeds of that fruit. So if I want good fruit, I've got to plant good seeds. If I want tomatoes, I've got to plant tomato seeds. If I want strawberries, I need to plant strawberry seeds. If I want a fig tree, I need to plant a fig seed. Okay, so our words are our seeds, and we plant them every day, and we water them by continually saying what we want. And I have actually seen this come to pass this year already. Actually, over the Christmas holiday, I can give you a specific example. Frank and I have been saying for months, this is the best Christmas yet. We didn't say this is going to be the best Christmas yet, or this coming Christmas will be the best. No, we said this Christmas is the best Christmas yet. So it's very important that we put it in the present tense. Not this shall be, it shall happen, you know, in the future. No, now. Now. Tense is important. Because if we are going to be or will be, it will always be somewhere in the future tense. So in order to keep it in the present, we kept it in the present tense. You heard Keith give a podcast about him speaking, 2013 was the best year I ever had. He's speaking as if it has already, it's already happened. And that's really, really important. Now, some of you out there might say, oh, come on, you're nitpicking. I've had people say this. Oh, come on, your words aren't that important. Oh, yeah, right. Well, whatever. Like, you do it your way, and I'll do it my way. And we'll see what kind of fruit we have at the end of that. Speaking about Christmas, since we were talking about that for months before it happened, we were speaking as if it had already happened. We already had the best Christmas we ever had. When Christmas came, we literally had the best Christmas we ever had in our married life. And I'll tell you, it wasn't just about presents, although there were many presents under the tree, and it was so great to see that. And what was really exciting for me is, like, I wanted to just give. It wasn't about me, what's under there for me. It was exciting for me to be able to give to everyone who I wanted to give to. And I was able to do that. And it wasn't just about that, though. It was about relationships. It was about seeing change in specific people and having just a glorious time on Christmas Eve with family, friends, and it was just a really, really great Christmas. And you know what? This Christmas is the best Christmas we ever had. And I'm talking about 2013. I know it's only February, but this Christmas is the best Christmas we ever had. 2013 is the best year we ever had. My greatest blessing ever is now. Keep it in the now. I'm not going to keep my blessed life always in the future. I am speaking it today. And you know what? Tomorrow, if I look back and say, well, I don't think I got what I expected, that's okay, because I'm still in today. I am learning from my past. I'm looking at the future, but I'm living in today. So I'm learning from the past. I'm looking at the future, but I'm living in today, and I'm speaking today. Let's just talk about Isaiah for a moment. I'm going to read Isaiah 52, starting with Isaiah 52:1, and you can follow along with me if you like, or check it out for yourself. I'm reading in the Amplified. I just think this is so cool. Awake, awake, put on your strength, O Zion. Put on your beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For henceforth there shall no more come into you the uncircumcised and the unclean. Shake yourself from the dust. Arise, sit erect in a dignified place. O Jerusalem, loose yourself from the bonds of your neck, O captive daughter of Zion. For thus saith the Lord, you were sold for nothing, and you shall be redeemed without money. For thus says the Lord God, my people went down at the first into Egypt to sojourn there, and many years later Sennacherib the Assyrian oppressed them for nothing. Now I delivered you from both Egypt and Assyria. What then can prevent me from delivering you from Babylon? But now, what have I here, says the Lord, seeing that my people have been taken away for nothing? Those who rule over them howl with joy, says the Lord, and my name continually blasphemed all day long. Therefore my people shall know what my name is and what it means, and therefore they shall know in that day that I am he who speaks. Behold, I am. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good tidings, who publishes peace, who brings good tidings of good, who publishes salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. Hark, your watchmen, lift up their voices. Together they sing for joy, for they shall see eye to eye the return of the Lord to Zion. Break forth joyously, sing together, you wasted places of Jerusalem, for the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord has made bare his holy arm before the eyes of all the nations, revealing himself as the one by whose direction the redemption of Israel from captivity is accomplished. and all the ends of the earth shall witness the salvation of our God. Depart, depart, go out from there, the lands of exile. Touch no unclean thing. Go out of the midst of her, Babylon. Cleanse yourselves and be clean, you who bear the vessels of the Lord on your journey from there. For you will not go out with haste, nor will you go in flight, as was necessary when Israel left Egypt. For the Lord will go before you, and the God of Israel will be your rear guard. Behold, my servant shall deal wisely and shall prosper. He shall be exalted and extolled and shall stand very high. For many, the servant of God became an object of horror. Many were astonished at him. His face and his whole appearance were marred more than any man's, and his form beyond that of the sons of men. But just as many were astonished at him, so shall he startle and sprinkle many nations, and kings shall shut their mouths because of him. For that which has not been told them shall they see, and that which they have not heard shall they consider and understand. As I was reading Isaiah 52, I actually almost forgot that these words were written over 700 years before Jesus was born. I had forgotten because of the way it was written, the tense of it, the tense of how it was written, as if it was already done. So let me just go back for a second, where he's actually talking about Jesus. Behold, my servant shall deal wisely and shall prosper. He shall be exalted and extolled and shall stand very high. For many, the servant of God became an object of horror. Many were astonished at him. His face and his whole appearance were marred more than any man's, and his form beyond that of the Son of Men. But just as many were astonished at him, so shall he startle and sprinkle many nations, and kings shall shut their mouth because of him. For that which has not been told them shall they see, and that which they have not heard shall they consider and understand. So that was Isaiah 52, 13 to 15. But if you draw your attention to 13 and 14, specifically 14, let's look at Isaiah 52, 14. For many, the servant of God became an object of horror. Became, past tense. Many were astonished at him, past tense. His face and his whole appearance were marred more than any man's, and his form beyond that of the sons of men. But just as many were astonished at him, so shall he startle and sprinkle, and so on it goes. So in that one scripture, 52:14, he's talking as if Jesus had already been scarred and marred, his appearance and his form, as if it had already happened. But meanwhile, that was 700 years yet to be when this was written. Okay, so let's go to Isaiah 53, Isaiah 53:1. Who has believed, trusted in, relied upon, and clung to our message of that which was revealed to us? And whom has the arm of the Lord been disclosed? Now this is Isaiah 53:2. For the servant of God grew up before him like a tender plant, and like a root out of dry ground. He has no form, nor comeliness, royal kingly pomp, that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected and forsaken by men, a man of sorrows and pains, and acquainted with grief and sickness. And like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we did not appreciate his worth or have any esteem for him. Surely he has borne our griefs, sicknesses, weakness, and distresses, and carried our sorrows and pains of punishment. Yet we ignorantly considered him stricken, smitten, and afflicted by God as if with leprosy. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our guilt and iniquities. The chastisement needful to obtain peace and well-being for us was upon him, and with the stripes that wounded him, we are healed and made whole. I'm just going to stop here for a minute because I really just want you to see. You can read this and think, this is New Testament. This could be in Acts somewhere or in Romans. But this is Isaiah. That was Isaiah 53:1-5. Isaiah, who lived 700 years before Jesus was born. And he's speaking of Jesus as if everything that Jesus went through had already happened. He's talking about it in the past tense. This is really important to me, and I really want to share it with you. So what Isaiah is doing here, he's speaking Jesus and his redemptive work into existence. He's speaking it into the earth. And this is Old Testament. And we now have the same authority that Adam had before he fell. Our words are powerful. Think of the glorious things that you can bring into the natural with your words. Lining up your words with the words that God spoke and the words that God speaks. So Isaiah spoke these words. David spoke these words. David was a prophet. And he literally spoke Jesus into the earth along with Isaiah. I also want to just skip over to Isaiah 55. Okay, so Isaiah 55, 1. Wait and listen, everyone who is thirsty. Come to the waters, and he who has no money, come by and eat. Not come by and eat. Come by and eat. With no money, come and buy and eat. Yes, come, buy priceless spiritual wine and milk without money and without price. Simply for the self-surrender that accepts the blessing. Ooh, I like that. That is cool. I never saw that before. See, I'm having a revelation right here with you. Yes, come, buy priceless spiritual wine and milk without money and without price. Simply for the self-surrender that accepts the blessing. Wow, it's as simple as that. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread and your earnings for what does not satisfy? Hearken diligently to me and eat what is good and let your soul delight itself in fatness, the profuseness of spiritual joy. Incline your ear, submit and consent to the divine will and come to me. Hear and your soul will revive and I will make an everlasting covenant or league with you. Even the sure mercy, kindness, goodwill, and compassion promised to David. Behold, I have appointed him, David, as a representative of the Messiah to be a witness. One who will testify of salvation to the nations, a prince, a commander to the people. Now, in the Amplified, it's also speaking in tandem, as if talking about David and then talking about Jesus as well. So, David was a representative of the Messiah. He was a witness, one who will testify of salvation to the nations, a prince, and a commander to the people. And Jesus has been appointed also as the Messiah himself to be a witness, the one who shall testify of salvation to the nations, a prince, capital P, and commander, capital C, to the people. So David also prophesying Jesus to the people. Okay, going on from Isaiah 55, 5. Behold, you, Israel, shall call nations that you know not, and nations that do not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God and the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. So let me continue on from Isaiah 55, 5. Behold, you, Israel, shall call nations that you know not, and nations that do not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God and of the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek, inquire for, and require the Lord while he may be found, claiming him by necessity and by right. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return to the Lord, and he will have love, pity, and mercy for him. And to our God, for he will multiply to him his abundant pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from the heavens and return not there again, but water the earth and make it bring forth and sprout, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, without producing any effect or useless, but it shall accomplish that which I please and purpose, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Okay, I just want to stop there for a minute and go back to Isaiah 55:8. This scripture has been thrown around and thrown at me and other people as an excuse for a number of ridiculous things. Let me just read it to you again, 55:8. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Okay, it's not like God's saying here, well, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts, so you're not going to be able to understand anything. You're not going to get me, so don't even try. That's not what he's saying there. That's not an excuse to use for, well, we don't understand God's ways, so, you know, that's why you're sick, or that's why you're poor, or that's why so-and-so died. No, 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 no. God's ways are higher than our ways. No, what he's saying there, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts, but he's saying, come on, come with me and find out. He's given us the Holy Spirit so that we have access to his thoughts. So we have access to his ways. He wants us to know his thoughts and his ways. Why would he withhold that from us if he wants us to walk in his ways? That doesn't even make sense. Why would you tell your kid, these are my rules, these are the regulations, these are the things that I really want you to be obedient to, this is the will I have for you, it's all good stuff, it's great stuff, but you're not going to be able to read it because I wrote it in another language and you can't interpret it. So muddle along on your own. That's ridiculous. Why would he give us his will and his ways and his thoughts and then hide them from us? That's why he gave us the Holy Spirit, so that we would have access to all knowledge, all wisdom, his wisdom. Your spirit, your born-again spirit has access to all the knowledge of the Holy One. We just have to get our natural mind to be renewed so we can get access to that. We pray for wisdom. We pray in the Spirit because God downloads that wisdom into our natural minds. He doesn't want to withhold it from us. So that scripture is not saying, well, you're never going to figure it out because my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. No, he's saying my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Come up here. Share my thoughts. Have access to my thoughts so that you can walk in wisdom. Doesn't that sound like a loving God? All right, well, again, I went off track just a little bit, but that really, that was another thing that jumped out at me. You know, the word is just so rich. You need to just set aside some really quiet, particular time to be with the Holy Spirit and let him reveal those high thoughts to you. Let him reveal that revelation knowledge that he is just wanting to share with you, wanting to download with you. Above all things, get wisdom. Wisdom being the main thing. So let me draw your attention to Isaiah 55:10. For as the rain and the snow come down from the heavens and return not there again, but water the earth and make it bring forth and sprout, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void without producing the effect or be useless, but it shall accomplish that which I please and purpose, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. So I had to put this together almost like an equation. Again, I'm a puzzle solver. It's just how I think. And God speaks to us the way he created us. He speaks to us individually and differently. I'm a puzzle solver. I'm a solution finder. I'm a figure outer. I like a mystery. Frank is not like that. He does not want to figure a mystery. He doesn't want to. God doesn't speak to him that way. He knows how to speak to you. He made you. He's got a specific way to talk to you. And it's not just one way. There's many, many ways God will speak to you. Okay, so here's me looking at this scripture and saying, okay, as the rain and snow come down from the heavens and return not there again, but water the earth and make bring forth and sprout, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. So God's word is like the rain and snow that waters the seed. So I'm thinking, well, what's the seed? God's word is like water. It's like rain. It's like snow that waters seeds. So what's the seeds? I think the seeds are our words. God's word waters our words. God's word backs up our words. Jesus backs up our words. The word. Jesus is the word, which we said way back in the beginning of this podcast. Jesus, the word, backs up our words. What am I getting from all of this? I'm saying for myself, for the year 2013 and beyond, that I've made a decision to speak God's words, to speak his promises, to declare and decree, to proclaim to all heaven and earth what God says. Not what the circumstances say, not what the situations say, not what the government says, not what the news says, not what the weatherman says, not what my neighbor says, not what the people at the gym say, not what the people at work say, not what your family says, no, not what the doctor says, not what the theologians say, not what the neurophysicists say, no, here's what I say. Here's what I say, in the words of my cousin Richie. I say what God says. I say what God says. Let every man be a liar, but God's word be true. I don't care what it looks like, tastes like, smells like, feels like, sounds like. What God says is true. The facts don't matter when you know the truth. You hear what I'm saying? The facts don't matter when you know the truth. And the only thing that you know is true is God. And His promises are real. And His promises are true. I want you to hold on to that for 2013, because 2013 is the best year you ever had. I expect my biggest blessing ever today. I expect the operation of that blessing today. And thank you, Lord, for it. Thank you that our words have power. Thank you for the authority and the dominion you gave us. Oh, and here's another thing. I had this revelation. I sat thinking, I'm like, I know this might seem really like dumb, but it's not. I'm thinking like, okay, what other creature can speak? Now think about it. I'm thinking, well, all right. Dogs can bark, but they can't form words. Different animals make different sounds, but what creatures besides humans can speak words? That's it. It's us. There's a reason for that. We fantasize and we say, what if Sheldon could talk? Like, what would he sound like? Like, what would his voice be? Would he have a British accent? Or, you know, would he have a high-pitched voice? They don't speak words, and there's a reason for that. Because we are created in God's image. Remember? Genesis 26. God said, let us create man in our image. Why? Because God is a speaking spirit. We are speaking spirits. God created all things through the Word. John 1:3. All things that were made through Him, the Word. Everything that we create, we created in His image. We have to do the same way. We have to create it by speaking words. Does this make sense? I mean, this, God blew my mind on this one. He blew the dust off another part of my mind and revealed something and brought light and truth. Be careful the words you speak. Remove things like, oh, my back is killing me. No, it's not. If you have pain in your back, you speak to that pain, you tell it to go in the authority that Jesus gave you. You're already healed. That's for somebody out there with back pain. I have so much more to share with you, but I know I probably have gone over time. So I just want to say, you are blessed. This year is the best year you've ever had. In Jesus' name, claim that, speak it, and don't stop speaking it, no matter what the devil tries to lie to you with. Amen? Share your testimonies with us. We'd love to hear how God's word is transforming your lives. We just love to give God the glory. Have a great day. The best day ever. You are blessed.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast from A History with God Ministries. This teaching is a powerful ministry tool that you can use to experience the power of God in your life. Thank you again for listening and for helping us reach the world with the love of Jesus. Sign up for your free daily devotion today at ahistorywithgod.com and click on Contact. Type in your name and email address and you'll be all set. A History with God Ministries. Seeing, hearing, remembering. Mark chapter 8, verse 18. Until next time, stay in the blessing.